previously on Beta.
We have to have the mandatory company physical. If you'll just relax and put on that gown over there, we will get going.
Louis Brasi sleeps with the fishes.
Luca Brasi. Luca.
Whatever.
You got the number, right? Because you are talking to kid a dynamite!
Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. Today, Sam Wasson joins us to talk about his expansive and mind-bending book, The Path to Paradise, a Francis Ford Coppola story.
I'm pleased to say that Francis got it, that he really got it. He needs to be understood as a man with a vision beyond even film.
And author Bethany Butler explores five decades of groundbreaking black television, including pioneering shows like the 60s sitcom Julia.
Diane Carroll found herself in the position of having to, like, feeling a responsibility for her community and feeling the need to speak up and say, I don't think we would say this. I don't think this makes sense.
But first, Scott Aukerman. Scott is the man behind the podcast Comedy Bang Bang. The extremely popular show features a wide range of hilarious celebrity guests. Some are portraying themselves, and some are using their awesome improv skills to create charismatic and colorful characters. For example, comedian Paul F. Tompkins as vigilante crime fighter J.W. Stillwater.
Okay, you know what crime I'm hearing right now? Y'all is disgusting.
Scott is also the co-creator and director of the web series Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis. You might remember the Barack Obama episode.
What's it like for this to be the last time you ever talked to a president?
Now Scott has transformed Comedy Bang Bang the podcast into a book called Comedy Bang Bang the Podcast the Book. He joins us now to talk about his online comedy empire and why he decided to analog it in book form.
I grew up reading books like this, like David Letterman's book that he put out in the 80s and the Onion books. And I just have always loved comedy books. And so when a publisher reached out to me to say, I think there's something that we could do with Comedy Bang Bang, initially I was a little reticent because I thought, you know, maybe someone was looking to do an episode guide or a behind the scenes look at the podcast or something. But the more we talked about it, the more we realized that it could be like those books that I read as a comedy fan growing up, where it takes the spirit of the podcast and brings it to life. And that's what the book does, I think. It takes all of the characters who are part of the podcast and who have been part of it for either the past 15 years or the past 1 year, and has them creating pieces for the book and making the whole sort of point of view of the podcast just visually and in text form come to life for people.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. I loved how the book opened with that introduction by you, the editor, followed by another introduction by Lin-Manuel Miranda, followed by Weird Al Yankovic's rebuttal to the introduction. Your book reminded me of Monty Python's Big Red Book and the brand new Monty Python Paperback. Were those influences? Because those books have the same kind of anarchic feel that your book does.
Definitely. I had a script to Monty Python and the Holy Grail, which it wasn't just a script. It had them marking it up and doing all, you know, playing around with the format of the book. And so, that stuff that I really liked growing up is something. There's a Simpsons book, Bart's Guide to Something. I can't remember what it was, which Sam, our editor, was a big fan of. She sent it to me. That plays around with the format of a book. That's really exciting to me to sort of set you off and say, this isn't just a normal, boring book. We've actually put a lot of work into it and are playing around with the form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you do it so very well. What makes a successful Comedy Bang Bang character?
You know, when a comedian inhabits a character and is just so comfortable in their skin and can, because our show is all improvised, and I try to not throw people off, but I try to ask questions which sort of will make the what could be pre-planned in their minds make them go off in different directions. And so I like a great character who's just has such a rich life that you can ask them about their history and get the comedian rolling on a life well lived. If a character has done a lot in their life, that's and I can ask them about it, that's what I'm really looking for.
Mm-hmm. And you've said, correct me if I'm wrong, you've said that it's a successful comedy Bang Bang character is someone who has an immediately recognizable weird aspect to their character. But then the deeper you go and the more you talk to them, the more strange their backstory gets to be.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a term for that that they use in improv, which is the game of the character, which means the one weird thing. A lot of times a good character will come in and have the one weird thing about themselves. And then the more we talk, we find out another weird thing and another weird thing. And that's what I love about doing the show is it's all improv. I've been doing the show now 15 years, and Paul F. Tompkins, who's an incredible improv comedian, has been doing it that long as well. And we're still finding out new things about his characters even now.
So let me ask you, JW, shouldn't you use a different name if you're going to be a vigilante? I mean, why are you pointing at me and guffawing?
Listen, son. J.W. Stillwater is my crime-fighting name. That's not my real name.
Oh, okay. It sounds like, you know, a typical Christian name.
No, it's my crime-fighting name. My real name's Eddie Lee Capers. I probably shouldn't have told you
that. Yeah, you shouldn't have said that.
I bet I shouldn't have said that.
We'll edit it out. Don't worry.
Please do.
We were doing a tour stop in Canada about a year and a half ago, and suddenly on stage, we figured out something that we had never figured out before about the character. And that's what I love about doing it is we're not just going through the motions. We're figuring out new things every single time we do it.
You write about the late, great comedian Harris Whittles. He was a regular on Comedy Bang Bang until he died in 2015. We had his sister, Stephanie Whittles, wax on Beta to talk about her loss. Can you share a few memories of Harris and a few of his jokes that Stephanie sent to you?
I knew him really when he was very, very young. I think right out of college. I mean, he was just, I think, had just turned 30 when he passed away. So I knew he had to be part of the book. And I reached out to Stephanie, his sister, and I knew she had his phone. His phone is where he would write all of his jokes down that he would come on to Comedy Bang Bang and say and sort of test out his material. And I said, you know, I know this might be painful for you, but I would love to get some of that material from his phone and put it in the book. And so she and her husband combed through his notes app and sent me everything that was a joke. And that's what we put in the book. It's just such a special way, I think, to honor him because he never put out a record. He never put out a stand-up special, but he had such great material. We wanted just a really definitive record of it to put out there.
Mm. How did you become a writer for the cult comedy hit Mr. Show with Bob and David?
I started doing comedy shows in 1995. It was part of the alt comedy scene, which included people like Janine Garofalo and David Cross and Bob Odenkirk, obviously, and Marilyn Rice Cub. And a friend of mine who was a friend of all of these comedians said, you know, you're really funny. You should go up one night. And so I just went up at this alt comedy club and doing sketches, weird sketches. And Bob and David got to know me and really liked, especially Bob. Bob Odenkirk really took me under his wing, and he would go to shows that I was doing, and he would open up for me doing stand-ups to kind of put the audience at ease and say, like, hey, I co-signed this. He would be in the shows sometimes. And so when it came time they needed writers for their fourth season, I submitted and got hired. And it was really incredible because Bob and David were the reasons I really wanted to do comedy. Is I saw one of their live shows and said, oh, wow, people are doing something new with comedy. And it really inspired me. And, you know, a lot of my act was just a shameless ripoff of them. So to work with them was incredible.
Yeah. What did you learn about comedy from working on Mr. Show with Bob and David?
I think they were really masters at figuring out how you felt about something and learning how to translate that into a sketch in that case. You know, you would come in with ideas occasionally with them, and they would be bad ideas, and they would never just throw it away outright. They would never like roll their eyes and say, well, that's stupid. And they would always like ask you how you came up with it. Like, what was the germ of the idea? Why did you think of that? And the more you talk about something and the more you just kind of riff around with friends, the more that this germ of an idea, which maybe the execution you came in with didn't really work, the more you can figure out like how you feel about it and how you can translate that into comedy. And that was really valuable, I think, because a lot of shows, you'll come in with an idea and if it doesn't work, they'll be mad at you and then, you know, not want you to write anything else and fire you. And they were really great about figuring out why you felt that something was funny and why that was valuable.
Mm. You launched the Comedy Bang Bang podcast in 2009. This was way before the podcast explosion. So how did you come up with the idea to do this as a podcast?
Well, I started out doing it as a radio show, actually, here in Los Angeles, where I live. And I'd always really wanted to do a radio show. I was obsessed with the radio when I was in my teens. I would tape songs off the radio and then record my own DJ programs where I would do sketches. And so it started just kind of as me wanting to do a radio show, but we recorded it and we put it out as a podcast. And I knew about podcasts at the time because I'd been on a couple. And I asked the station manager, I said, hey, how many people do you think are listening to this when it's on the radio? And he said, maybe 500 at most. And then I looked at the numbers on the podcast and it was in the thousands. And I quickly said, oh, okay, I think radio's on its way out. And I think podcasting is the way to go. And, you know, back when I started, it would be maybe 2,000 people listening to the podcast. But it kept growing and growing and growing. And it was all across the world. People were listening to it. And I would try to convince other comedians I knew. I would say, hey, you're working so hard and you're putting on a sketch show for 100 people at a local theater. You should do a podcast for thousands. And people didn't really understand it because no one, I think the technology wasn't there at the time either. Once all of that technology got simplified and download speeds became quicker, that's when podcasts really exploded. And luckily, we had been around for quite a few years before then.
Hmm. Yeah. You're also behind the viral hit Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis. What's the origin story behind that?
I was doing a sketch show for a network, and it was fun. They kind of wrote a blank check and said, just deliver us a show. And so we tried a whole bunch of different things out. I talked to Zach, whom I had known for quite a few years at that point, and I knew he didn't want to be part of the cast, but I said, hey, do you just want to make a short with me and we'll, you know, see what comes out? And he said to me, you know, I've always wanted to do a fake public access television show and call it Between Two Ferns. And I laughed really hard because I had a public access television show when I was a teenager, and so did Zach. And we both knew that when you were making those, they couldn't afford sets. All they could afford were these plants. And it was always like two ferns and then two chairs, right? And so I was like, oh yeah, that's great. And I had been talking to Michael Cera, who was our first guest, about doing something for the show too. And I said, okay, let's put these two things together. We'll have you interview Michael Cera. And we just improvised it. It had Zach like asking him questions off the cuff. And meanwhile, I was shouting out jokes from the other room. And Ruben Fleischer, who directed Zombieland, he was the director of that first one. And he was adding some suggestions as we went along. And then our editor, Daniel Strange, put it together. And it was just so awkward and weird. And it really felt fresh because it felt like no one was asking celebrities these types of questions. Everything in celebrity interviews is so guarded. You do so many pre-interviews when you're on a talk show, and you have publicists sitting in the room telling the interviewer, you can't ask that, you can't ask that. And he was really breaking that down and saying like, hey, nothing's off limits. We're going to insult these celebrities that we've put on a pedestal for so long. And that's how it started. And it just became something that we only thought we were going to do one episode. And then more and more celebrities asked if they could do it.
Yeah. And you spent 4 years trying to get President Barack Obama on, and you were able to do that. How did that episode go?
It went really well. It was, I mean, obviously it was a lot of pressure because so much planning went into it. And then on the day, he's the president of the United States, the sitting president, you kind of assume that something is going to happen in the world that needs his attention a little more than this dumb show. So we were sitting in the White House, and Zach and I were looking at each other going, this is not going to happen. This is not going to happen. He's going to cancel. And then suddenly he just walks in and he's like, two ferns. And we're like, oh, okay, here we go.
I have to know, what is it like to be the last black president?
Seriously? What's it like for this to be the last time you ever talk to a president?
It must kind of stink, though, that you can't run, you know, three times.
No, actually, I think it's a good idea. If I ran a third time, it'd be sort of like doing a third Hangover movie. Didn't really work out very well, did it? Now, I have to say that I've seen this show before, and some of the episodes have probably been a little bit better than this. You know, for example, the one with Bradley Cooper, that was a great
Bradley
show.
Bradley Cooper, everybody loves
He kind of carried that movie, didn't he?
Which film are you speaking of?
Those Hangover movies. Basically, he carried them.
Yeah, everybody loves Bradley. Good for him.
Good-looking guy.
Being like that in Hollywood, that's easy. Tall, handsome, that's easy. Be short, fat, and smell like Doritos and try to make it in Hollywood.
It was a lot of pressure, but we knew that it was going to be something that the eyes of the world were on. We just didn't anticipate how many eyes were going to be on it.
Mm-hmm, that's great. You say that you love it when people don't get your comedy and you want more people to feel that way. I find that very counterintuitive. Why is that?
Well, I mean, not enough people are paying attention to it to get it really at this point. You know, when you listen to an episode of Comedy Bang Bang, here's an experience that a lot of listeners have had. They will listen to an episode and not understand that the people that I'm interviewing are fake people because we intentionally obfuscate that. We have real celebrities on sometimes, and they're themselves, so all of the rest of the guests are probably themselves, right? But no, it's all comedians playing fake people, so it's intentionally confusing. We don't spell it out for people, but I think it's more rewarding for people once they figure it out. It suddenly becomes their favorite thing, and it's like a sort of like a best-kept secret that they have that they can share with their friends, but the entire world doesn't get it yet.
Very well said. That makes total sense. Scott Aukerman, thank you very much for joining us today. Congratulations on Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, the book. We are looking forward to Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, the book, the audiobook, the PDF.
Yes, eventually we'll get to a PDF. We haven't done it yet, but we'll get there. I swear to
our fans. I know you will. Thanks so much, Scott.
Thank you.
Scott Aukerman is the editor of Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, the book. You can find out more about Scott and his Comedy Bang Bang universe at WPR.org/beta.
Everyone has a camera on their phone. Now, that's where Francis wanted to move. He saw that future.
Coming up, author Sam Wasson joins us to talk about the great director Francis Ford Coppola and his desire to reimagine movie making. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.